Now, recording live from the SEC Pub, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome back, hour number two, bonus coverage of the BS and Beer Podcast. I'm Dave Romero. I'm here with Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, on the heels of a huge playoff victory against our arch rivals, the Carolina Donkeys. I don't know why I like that so much, but I do.
And don't forget, this is bonus coverage.
Bonus coverage.
And just so like, I kind of remember that might be one of those words.
It's one of them. If you somehow didn't expect to be at the top of the leaderboard on the Pick'em League,
like Lord Boudreau,
we're giving you a couple of little hints.
Listen,
because you're listening to the show now, we already in the last hour, we kind of explained what not to do.
That's right.
And what you shouldn't do is say, what? But code words. Then automatically, I know you don't know. We don't. So you're like, oh yeah, code words. Wait, hold on, let me. Let me look through my files. I have them written down.
There you go.
So at least there's some plausible stuff going on that maybe will let you slide. But yeah, nothing about saying. What do you mean? What do you mean?
Code words.
I don't understand. That doesn't work very well. So like, because we're kind and generous people.
That's right.
We're gonna tell you. But listen, we just got word today.
Yeah.
The BS and Beer Podcast crew will be on Sports Talk 97.7 even in the off season.
Woo-hoo!
So listen, the contract.
You know, somebody wrote in that we needed to be on more.
More,
did
I know.
Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
Somebody
see that.
Tweeted that.
Very flattering. We should.
I appreciate that.
I tell you what, though, I'm
on all the time,
things.
But that's okay.
I know you're Tomas. Tomas does this for a living. He's on the radio.
No, I wish
3 hours. Well, he does this all day, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week.
That's correct.
Does his show. Then he comes over here and he does this show.
That's right.
Me personally, you know how busy I am. I mean, I'm so busy. I don't have time to be an hour. You know, man, I don't know how I squeeze an hour in my day.
I hear you.
You know, take it away from all the other activities I have going on in my life. So, but here's the thing. It's exciting.
That's why you don't even need either ESPN or Fox money. You just don't need it.
You know what? Don't even worry about that stuff. But here's the thing. So, hopefully, if the Saints win, then you continue to get the bonus coverage, which is hour number two. After the Saints season's over, then we go back down to our normal one-hour show, but it's going to be the entire offseason. You can get all the hilarity.
Wait. But if we win the Super Bowl, I would think we'd probably have 2-hour shows for a couple of shows after that.
Oh, yeah, we would. Shoot, we might ask him if we could get 2 more hours for that. I don't know. Well, actually,
we do 2 hours. Now, if we do the third hour, again, it's a subscription hour. The third hour is a subscription hour, so again.
Oh, he's already angling. I can see where you're going with this. Yeah.
If you want that third hour.
Here we go. Now we're going to be like all those podcasts. Just send in your donations.
Yeah. No, donation my ass. You have to pay for it. Ain't no donation.
Wait, listen. Tomas, with all the money that we receive from Don Bobo.
Not enough.
From CamaFed.
Not enough.
From CamaFloss.
Not enough.
From all the different.
No,
then there's CamaFed 2.
No.
And all these different things, you would think that we would need to worry about.
Well, I think there's a new commercial coming up about concuss. Isn't there a concuss commercial coming up?
There could be by next week. Because here's the thing. Whether they're out of the playoffs or not.
You still can make fun of them.
I always can make fun of Cam Newton. All right. So my favorite player, David Onyemata. For him and, you know what, another guy who, you know, I think the fans like him. But he's more of a role player, Mike Marty. Now, he might be the second on the list because – I don't know, was it last year or 2 years ago where he put a pretty good lick on Cam Newton when he was trying to lackadaisically running out of bounds and Marty came out there
tattooed
full board and tattooed him. Now, it was nothing like the Onyemata shot.
No, that was a good one.
But I tell
you know
what,
why? Because he didn't expect it at all.
No, he was. Let's talk about that in a second. But we got to let everybody know this is the bonus cover.
Thank you. And now, it's time for the bonus round, where you play in front of dozens of people for tens of dollars. Tomas, Heath, Dave, are you ready?
I'm so ready.
Let's play BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, so I think this can be a good time for us to talk about the Cam Newton concussion protocol.
That wasn't.
That's what I'm saying. So, okay, so I'm going to go in that direction. So the guy, you know, Tyler Davidson, he makes a great pass rush. Gets Cam all twisted up and almost tackles him, but Cam manages to get one arm out and kind of tripod himself back onto his feet with some amazing athleticism. And no, sir, David Onyemata smacks him with one of the hardest hits. Now, keep in mind, David Onyemata is about, I would guesstimate, 310, 315 pounds, and that was back when he was a rookie, so who knows what he is now, but the guy is just one big muscle. He's a huge, huge man.
Big man.
But Cam Newton's a big guy, too, because think what would happen if that guy would have been your normal 210-pound cornerback.
It might have bounced off of.
It may have killed him. I'm no expert. I'm no doctor.
Yeah.
But the man could have literally died right on the field.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, I mean, Cam held up pretty well. He didn't go flying, but he did go backwards and hit the ground. And here's where all the controversy comes in. And it made me start thinking, if that was Drew Brees who took a hit and was obviously concussed, and normally you would say he got to come out the game, and the coach's staff look at him and say, man, you want to play? And he's like, yeah, there is no enforcement arm to the policy of the concussion protocol. So you know what? Go back on the field. The doctors are not going to chase you out there and drag you back to the locker room. So whether they come, and what they're doing now is damage control, although I will say there's some of it that's pretty plausible. Okay, I see what you're saying, maybe. But he obviously was concussed. They put him back in the game, damn near come back and win the game. And so what? The fine would have been $100,000. They wouldn't have, on Monday, decided, you know what, you went back and you had a concussion. The game, now the Saints won.
Yeah, forfeit. It's
a forfeit. The Saints are now going to Minnesota. It wouldn't happen.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Just like the Marty hit. I mean, in that other game, it was the same thing. I don't remember him going through any concussion protocol for that, even though he looked a little woozy, you know, after the hit. I don't know who's running this thing. And you know, we're not going to go into a whole conspiracy theory about, you know, why he was or wasn't in the. But. What was the excuse wound up being that his
visor shield hit him in the eye?
The tip of the visor shield went in his eye.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Right.
So I'm going to say if you got hit hard enough for your own shield to wind up back in your eye, okay? To me, that doesn't make me feel any better about whether it was, you know.
Good point.
Yeah, I'm going even more towards you. With,
I would concuss my face mask just now. Went up into my brain. I mean.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know.
Well, I mean, look. Several things here. Certainly, there's no enforcement arm to do anything about it.
No, that sounds familiar.
And certainly, if they fine you, you write a check. Because the guy behind him is not going to win you the game. So I'm sure they thought about all of those things along the process there. But it's just that it makes a farce of the NFL. And when you're going to go out and say, okay, Seattle, you didn't follow the protocol, here's a $100,000 fine. You know, well, how much is $100,000 to these guys?
It's peanuts. You know? It's peanuts.
Yeah. I mean,
that's the whole point of it is what they're going
to
do.
Better to say, you know what? Since you didn't follow the rules, you're out for six games with no money. No pay, six games. Man, I guarantee you.
Or the organization lose a second round draft pick. I mean, the point
is. That doesn't hurt as much. I'm telling you what hurts is you put the player, you put a star athlete on the bench for six games, and he's perfectly healthy. You know, at that point, he could play and no pay.
No, I
guarantee you.
I agree with you that it hurts more, but yeah. I think at some point that could be a little excessive because you're right.
Well,
I
but mean, are you serious about this or are you not serious?
No, and that's the question. You are right. That's the question.
If you're not serious about this, say, hey, you know what? If you get your bell rung, we go to a
you
different
get dinged.
Yeah, you get dinged up. You got a bell rung. Yeah, your little. You
the
know,
euphemisms, whatever.
Yeah, then okay, fine. Now, if they crack your skull open and your brains are bleeding out, well, that might be a concussion.
Yeah, we have to send you to the tent for that.
Yeah. So, I'm just saying that it's a bunch of bologna sausage.
And look, the bottom line on it is, it just made me realize, at the end of the day, $100,000 is nothing to an NFL team.
No.
And if it's the
no.
difference between winning or losing a playoff game, then I'm not going into the locker room. And the coach would probably be like, look left, look right, put his hands up, say, get him, Tiger. All right, let's take a hotline call. That number is 701-901-1295. Or you can send us an email at...
What's that email address?
bsandbeer@icloud.com.
iCloud.
Matter of fact, Now that you mentioned, I also have an email that I need to read. So we're going to do the hotline call first, and then we'll talk about some of the discussion points on this email.
Hey, this is Lil Dice. Clean sweep of the Panthers. Saints advance in the playoffs. It's beautiful. Now we got the Vikings coming up. One thing I wanted to get you guys thoughts on were their head coach for the Vikings. I mean, he's really been putting it together past few years. All the quarterbacks getting injured, and they're still winning. I mean, what do you think about this guy being coach of the year?
That's Lil Dice, a friend of the show, calls us quite often. Appreciate it, Lil Dice. Matter of fact, I appreciate you letting me use that. You weren't here last week, Heath.
No.
He has a little, Lil Dice used to be a rapper.
Yeah.
I guess
yeah.
It's kind of a big deal in New Orleans. But now I think he's kind of grown up, got a 9-to-5, got a big boy job and doing that thing. But anyway, appreciate the call as usual. Mike Zimmer, right? Is it Mike? I know it's Zimmer.
Yeah.
Mike Zimmer. Okay. What he's done with Case Keenum.
This is Casey Kasem on American Top 40 in Hollywood. Now we're up to our long-distance dedication.
What he's done with this guy
is
nothing short of a miracle. And let me tell you, this opinion probably was just formulated because I knew he was a career backup, but I didn't think much of him until I was watching TV, which I'm pretty much watching nonstop nowadays to see what's all going on. And I forgot about his days in Houston.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy was a turnover machine. I mean, it was just interceptions. It's just embarrassing play. What he's done is nothing short of miraculous. Now, if you want to say Zimmer was the guy that made that happen, okay, you know, maybe so. Maybe it's he's playing with a team. But Houston has a great defense, or at least had it when they were in the playoffs, you know, a couple of years. I mean, now without J.J. Watt, they're not the same. But they were very similar, let's say that way, to the Vikings.
Except no offensive line.
Where?
At Houston.
In Houston?
Yeah, because he was also with the Rams, wasn't he?
That's correct. And he had every chance with the Rams to make it. That would be a better example, I would think. Houston, he had like one offensive lineman. The rest of them were like, you know, Swiss cheese.
Yeah, right. I don't think it was a whole lot better when he was with the Rams, though, I think is the problem, you know. Hmm. It's kind of like Bradford, you know, and everybody kept, well, you know, if Bradford would ever get with a solid team where he could just manage the game and not, you know. And then he went to Minnesota and he played pretty well.
Right.
And we're seeing the same thing with Keenum, you know. And I think the offensive line and that stuff is you know, been a big part of it.
Yeah,
but, yeah, obviously somebody working with him, whether it's offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, whoever it is that's having the most effect.
But you know, like what we're talking about, Coleman, there's certain things that are ingrained into the brain. And at some point, I'm just saying, it could be that a little defensive line pressure might make old – long distance.
This is Casey Kasem on American Top 40 in Hollywood.
The long distance dedication. Listen, I think
I could see our all pro rookie of the year on defense stepping it up.
One of the things that we saw with the Rams this past week against Atlanta was these young guys, and not that he's a young guy, but these career backups. Like, it's a different game once you get into the playoffs.
Oh,
and everybody
says
it.
True.
Every player says it. The coaches say it. Sometimes it's something that you can't really put your finger on. But there is a difference between regular season football and playoff football.
Right. So I hope that they're saying, oh, we beat them already once.
I'm hoping that too. I'm hoping that the pressure becomes like, man, if I'm going to get a contract next year, whatever it takes.
I'm going to say this to you right here, right now. There's a guy who plays free safety for us, who I believe is going to come up really big in this game.
Are you making a call?
I'm making that call right here, right now. If you're some man!
Tomas.
There you go. There you go.
All right.
I'm making that call right here, right now. Marcus Williams. Watch what he does in this game.
Big game. All right.
All right.
So let's get to this email real quick. Now, this is DJ213. His name's David. And it's a bunch of stuff. Dave, I always appreciate your emails. I try to reply to you. A little bit too much for the show. But
just pick one.
I'm going to pick a couple, actually.
All right.
Thielen and Diggs will not run wide open in like they did the last game.
No.
It's not going to happen. The reason they were so open was just complete confusion by a bunch of young guys, by guys like Vaccaro, who were not accustomed playing cover two.
Yeah.
It was just things that we haven't seen since. Now, look, you're going to have
Devontae Harris.
Devontae Harris. Haven't seen him since. Haven't seen him since. Yeah. The point is it's going to be a different game. I'm not telling you, oh, we're going to win because of this, that, and the other. What I'm telling you, it won't be the same type of game.
No.
So let's see another one. From the crying Panthers to the whining Vikings fan. Mm-hmm. I like that comment too, Dave. I tell you what, the Vikings fans are not happy with us. I'm not sure why. For whatever reason, they think that we just big, mean Saints fans try to hurt all their players.
Yeah, they think we bounty gated past them into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and we're the reason.
Well,
It wasn't the interceptions. It wasn't the stupid penalties at the end of the game. It wasn't all the fumbles. I think 6 fumbles in the NFC Championship. None of that. It's because we were trying to hit them too hard.
Yeah, and all I can tell you is I remember it was a score of 44-10, if I'm not mistaken, in one of those playoff games where the Vikings owned us for like 5 years in a row. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
I remember
Hey,
Culpepper.
It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. We got a Tomas rant coming for you.
I was sitting there selling turnips on a flatbed truck.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
A little Dave Matthews, get us going.
Like it.
We here in the second hour, BS and Beer podcast. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. Fox Sports is what this is. 97.7 FM Sports Talk Radio. Listen, before we get too far along, I want to make mention of a guy who made maybe one of the biggest plays in the game, especially the fact that it was late in the game. It was a crucial situation and held Carolina to another field goal. John Freeney.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's kind of a journeyman. He's been around. He's on the team. He doesn't get much playing time. There was a play late in the fourth quarter where Carolina had moved the ball down the field, and on a crucial third down play, Cam Newton gets out of the pocket. Looked like he had pretty good open field. I don't know if he would have gotten, I don't know the results. And the reason I don't know the results is because out of a cannon, John Freeney shoots over there and makes an open field tackle on Cam Newton.
Yep.
And it was a huge play that all of a sudden I'm like, man, I wonder – I'm not one of those people who's, why didn't that guy play more? Because I'm sure there's a reason the coaches, they put their best players on the field, period. You don't coach the game to say, well, it's not Little League. Well, this guy contributed – his dad contributed money to the library or something. Yeah. This guy's playing because he's good. Well – why isn't Freeney playing? There must be some reason. Maybe he doesn't grasp the playbook. Maybe he doesn't show up to practice on time. I don't know. But what I saw there was a fast, explosive linebacker. And, boy, we could use one of those right now.
Yeah. Well, he played quite a bit in this game, didn't he?
Well, I mean, at this point with the injuries, we don't have a lot of options.
Yeah. I mean, how long has he been around, though?
6 years. 6 years.
No, I mean on the Saints.
Just this year. Just this year. We picked him up in the middle of the season.
Yeah, I was going to say, he hadn't been on the team the entire
season.
So, maybe he's still trying to find his role, grasp the playbook. But with all the injuries that we've had at linebacker, I can see the guy getting some more snaps, and at least situationally. But we did our good, we did our bad. Now I think, Heath, let's cover the ugly, and we're going to exclude your little tirade on Sunday.
Yeah, well, no, we're not, because that's pretty much, mine's just a recap, but the ugly is the stupid fourth down.
Oh, yeah, the reason he got mad.
I'm sorry, but, I'm not a big fan of that whole thing anyway. Especially now, I think most teams know that the Saints are going to try that. They do it a lot, and it's kind of become a thing. Carolina didn't even flinch on that play.
But if they did.
Yeah, if they did. Right. But the bottom line is, even if you're going to do that, then you call a timeout, you punt the ball away or whatever. You don't go back out now. They know you're going to run a play. Well, I don't know. We have another time. I mean, I guess could you do it twice?
You could.
Would that be,
you take another 5 yard back.
What you do is you go out there in a situation like that and you do the fake thing a couple of times, and then when you get down to the end of the clock, you actually run the play and catch everybody off guard.
I always wonder about that. Is at some point when it didn't work, And then the quarterback walks away and you direct snap it to the running back.
Yeah,
or
anything. Yeah, you can come up with something creative in that situation to catch everybody off guard.
Because at that point, that's when the guys, they go from being a three-point stance, they kind of squat down so they can see what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, you got these big 300-pound guys in the stance for a long time.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, like, and they can't see their foreheads all wrinkled up with the fat rolls on there. And they got
the
helmet.
Sweat's dripping down.
Yeah, and then they just kind of stand up and then boom, you know.
Yeah,
right
Drew
there.
Brees could sell it. You know, you could get that look on his face like he's looking around. Like he's mad not at working everybody. Or whatever. He's getting ready to give it up and then snap the ball, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, my bad, or ugly, actually, is going to be the Brandon Coleman thing. And I know we've already touched on it quite a bit. But to me, I'm ready to go on another tirade.
I mean, did a tirade.
Yeah,
there, but
I mean, it's inexcusable for a role player like that guy who's already recently struggled with two fumbles in the game. I'm not even complaining about the fumble. I'm complaining about him willingly carrying the ball, palming it, and swinging his arm around when he's already a guy that's a fringe player to begin with.
Yeah.
So there's my ugly, and you notice how I didn't even go into a tirade? But having said that, there's a guy who goes into tirades all the time. I mean, I've seen him come out of the bathroom, and you should see there's no towels in the bathroom, and oh, my God, you know who he is.
Oh, my God, it's going to blow!
It's a Tomas rant.
That's right. I don't want to hear these facts.
Daddy, she's going to blow.
I have opinion.
I got a nuke coming in. It's going to blow in less than a minute.
Facts don't mean anything to me.
It's
going
to blow. It's going to blow.
My opinion overranks the fact, okay?
It's going to blow up. It's going to blow up.
And she will. It is a mathematical certainty.
Indubitably. So, well, let's start out with my ugly because it segues right in. So my ugly would have been the cross-eyed coach of the Scamthers complaining that the last pass thrown out there by Visor Boy, also known as Donkey Boy, that, you know, that shouldn't have been grounding. How could that be grounding? Surely there was a receiver sitting on the bench somewhere that would have qualified to be a receiver in the area. And so he, you know, made all these faces to emphasize his one eye not paying attention and the other one staring into space. So, let me go on. Now, see, I can't do a rant if I'm laughing. All right? So now I'm going to be serious. Whose fault was it that Carolina lost his game? I know you people are probably thinking it was probably somebody's fault. Whose fault could it possibly be? Now, Dave over here thinks that it could have been Coleman's fault. Could have been, but it wasn't.
It could always be his fault.
Yeah, you see? Some other people might say that it was a linebacker fault or a safety fault or, you know, who knows? Now, I think they do have a safety on their team by the name of Bird. But, you know, not going to go there either. It's the coach's fault, for God's sake. And where does it go to? The head coach. Now, here's my little rant. You see, a lot of teams aren't willing to face the Pied Piper. This is what we needed the wrestling thing about, you know, Rodney Pied Piper. Okay. But anyway, they're not willing to face up.
Hey, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.
That's all the wrestling I got for you.
That's all you got? Yeah. Well, that's right. In any case, we look around this league, and we see a bunch of coaches. You know, we talk about how players are overpaid. Man, look at some of these coaches. What the hell do they do? Now, there's a guy who posted on the Twitter field. He was so confident about his Panthers winning this game that he was willing to pay $25 for anybody who retweeted his tweet, if the Scamthers lost. Well, brother, I'm waiting. Now, it's kind of interesting that his handle on the old Twitter sphere is Good Mike Shula. Well, I have news for you, sir.
Wait, hold up.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer news desk.
Here it comes. Good Mike Shula, he gone bye-bye. He was the guy who said, you know, one of these coaches sucks. Who might it be? I know who it is. Mike Shula. And just for good measure, let's throw Ken Dorsey out the door, too. He's a quarterback's coach. So, really, you know what he is? He's a donkey wrangler. There you go. So now they have to hire another donkey wrangler and another offense. Let me tell you what. I am so happy. This is a rant, but I'm happy.
It's a happy rant.
Yes, it is. Yeah, like because now I see that Carolina is going to be the doorstop. Is it? No, not the, what do you call that? The doormat. That's what I meant to say.
The doormat.
The doormat of the NFC South.
Well, I mean, there's still Tampa Bay who's going to fight with
them. Well, but Tampa Bay, you know, crab legs. You never know. He might you know, pick up something, but you know, he might get some crabs.
This was the most unique Tomas rant I think I've experienced.
Well, I'm just telling you. Look, this is the way that it goes. Now I'm waiting for the next shoe to fall. We have another guy who only got one eye in Minnesota. So let's see how he does.
Wow. Wow. Just wow. All right, I'm going to go ahead and pull the plug on this one.
Man, I enjoyed that rant.
The opinions expressed by Tomas do not necessarily reflect the thoughts and views of David Romero or the BS and Beer podcast. And David's silence should not in any way be mistaken for agreement on the subject. Sometimes we just have to get on with the show.
Hey, we are Fox Sports, BS and Beer podcast crew, Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. 97.7.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower that this fully armed and operational
podcast.
We are Fox Sports. It's 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, the BS and Beer podcast crew. Gentlemen, it's exciting times. I mean, listen, I want to talk a little bit in depth about the Minnesota Vikings, our opponent this coming Sunday.
Yeah.
Thing about it is, I got to be honest, pretty much all season, I can't get the taste of Minnesota's ass whipping out of my mouth right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it. And so this week, since Sunday, because, you know, every angle I've taken is my thoughts and attempts to how the Saints could get to the NFC Championship game without playing Minnesota. So one of them was, I thought that if somehow or another Carolina could get to Minnesota and beat them before we got to them, but that ended up not working out that way. So, of course, after Sunday, and I realized it was inevitable that we were going to have to play Minnesota at some point if we won, I spent a little time trying to convince myself that hey, we got it. And quite frankly, again, I think a lot of my reservations about playing Minnesota and about how good Minnesota is and how I don't know how we're going to beat them is because early in the season, and I know Tomas has reminded me 100 times all the different things. We didn't have, you know, Crawley at corner. We had all these different things. Our offensive line wasn't in shape. We had a lot of young players. We had Vaccaro playing in positions he wasn't accustomed to. A lot of things. I get it. But I still can't get that feeling. And then as I start looking at things, I watch several of their games over the course of the last 2 or 3 days. And I just start and looking at some statistics, easy for me to say. One of the things I realize about Minnesota's defense is really it's their secondary that's elite. But their front seven is not better than Carolina's. So the point is that the Saints can run on them. And one of the things, and again, I'm going to do a lot of comparisons between them and Carolina. Carolina's linebackers are probably the best complete set of linebackers in the league. They flow to the ball. They kill your screen game. They kill your short passing game because of the athleticism of the linebackers. And because they're so athletic, they don't really have to take them off the field on, let's say,
you're not situational players.
Yeah, they play in – Minnesota doesn't have that luxury. Minnesota doesn't get a lot of sacks, nor do they get a lot of stops for losses in the run game. One of the things that Minnesota does, and I think it's probably one of the best things in the league, or best teams in the league doing it, is they put you in third and let's call it six, 4 to 6 yards, something like that, and then they cover, and then they get you off the field on third down.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. The Saints will be able to run on the ball on them, and the Saints, you will see what we didn't see in Carolina, which is bringing back the screen game and the passing to Kamara because they don't have the linebackers that Carolina has. Now, the way they can stop that, and they certainly have the personnel to do it, is they can bring a safety down because they generally play cover two. But that leaves you susceptible to the run. Now, we bring a safety down, and now you're putting yourself in a position where you're opening up the passing game, and you're also opening up the game, the passing game, to the running backs. Where I'm going with all this is after watching several games and doing some research into the statistics, I actually think the Saints match up pretty well in as far as what the Saints do well on offense and what Minnesota, I don't want to say are bad at, but isn't necessarily their strength. I think that we do have an opportunity to make plays in the running game and the ball and throwing the ball to the backs. So there's kind of my little analysis of where I think the chinks in the armor are with those guys offensively, with our offense versus their defense. Now, on the other hand, looking at their offense versus our defense, I don't have as deep analysis. What I did is spend a lot of time checking out Minnesota's defense. But on when they're – Casey Kasem has had an amazing season. And there's no valid reason for me to believe that he won't continue to play well. Having said that, some things that might be intangible but have proven in the past to be legit, real things are players like the Rams, for instance. Goff was unable to take his game to the next level. Lack of experience, whatever you want to call it. And I believe there could be some of that. Now, here's another thing. The teams that rested players, you know, that whole I got a first-round bye doesn't always work well for teams. So there's some of that. Now, they also, Delvin Cook, they don't have Delvin Cook anymore. Again, they had Bradford when they played us the first time. This will be the first time that Casey Kasem has seen us. So all of these things are positive things that play into strengths for the Saints that lead me to believe that, listen, this is going to be a battle. It's going to be an absolute battle. The biggest thing that I worry about now is the home field advantage. That's a raucous, loud, energized stadium that we're going to have to go to, and we're going to have to manage all of the things that come with that loud stadium.
Well, I think we're looking at a hot and sour situation here. I didn't get that one.
No. Okay. Don't got it. No.
Yeah. Okay, like this maybe? Hot and sour situation.
Oh, man.
So
sweet and sour situation. Is that what?
No. And anyway. Let's seriously.
Really?
Yeah, seriously. Okay. Number one, currently the New Orleans Saints have 18 players on injured reserve. 18. And many of those players are starting players. On our defense, our linebacking core is missing three starters. Three starters. One fellow who was really setting the edge, Okafor. The other two who could fly around the field. So if you're looking at it, you say, man, that's going to be tough for the Saints. But here's what I'm going to tell you. I don't think so. Dave, I think this guy who challenged me from the Carolina Scamthers, he said that Carolina was better at every position than the Saints were. And I told him, I said, listen.
All right, so now listen.
Wait, I'm trying to get to the point here. You know, I told him, I said, listen, after the game, I'll be happy to go step by step with you, position by position, to see what you are saying. Now the Minnesota Vikings are saying the same thing. Okay, well, again, we're going to go step by step here. You know, I'll take some big steps because they don't have a lot of time here. But if you look at our players, even with the 18 on injured reserve, quarterback, got to go Saints. Can't go any other way. Defensive backfield. You were talking about their defensive backfield. I'm going to put our defensive backfield against theirs any day of the week. I can tell you right now, I believe that with Lattimore on one side, Crawler on the other side, Marcus Williams at the back end of it, and even Vaughn Bell. Man, I watched this game now three times. I watched over the Baldy
Yeah, he does a great job with the clips.
Let me tell you, we've missed a lot of things that Von Bell does that really makes a difference on this defense. So I'm willing to put our defensive backfield against theirs any day. Seriously. I think that we can match up no problem, head-to-head. So I would call it a wash. And you said, well, you know, they put on some line pressure, but they got one big stutter on the offensive line, defensive line. Well, so do we. But here's the difference. Your guy, Onyemata, I think he's really coming on. Davidson's been strong the whole season. He's got tree trunk legs. Man, you're not pushing him out the way. You know? So, again, I'm looking over there and I'm thinking, well, I think we're looking pretty good on the defensive line. So, pressures, sacks, and I am incredibly happy with Manti Te'o. I'm very happy with him. Me too. He's gone way further than I thought he would with what he's doing. The guy I'm actually not too happy with is your boy, Robertson.
Oh, now it's my boy. Now it's my boy.
Yeah, well, you know, Robertson, you know, whatever.
Robertson, son, yeah.
I mean, I'm just not seeing it, you know. Well, we'll see. But I think a lot of people are going to be surprised at the difference that 16 games makes. This is not the team that played Minnesota.
No, it's not even close. That's not even an argument.
A completely different team. Much better philosophy on defense, much better philosophy on offense. We don't have Adrian Peterson anymore to worry about. And if they say, okay, we're going to shut down Drew Brees throwing, come on down. No problem. Because that's when big game coming out of my boy Mark Ingram. He's going to carry through with his Alabama Crimson Tide. And I even sent him a note. I told him, hey, brother, you know, you brought that home. Now bring the Super Bowl Lombardi home. There you go.
All right. Heath, anything to add? Any analytical insight?
No. I don't ever have analytical. But look, I didn't go that far into it with the players. But two things that stand out. You said the home field advantage for Minnesota is a big one. And like I said earlier with my bat or whatever it was, I'd feel a whole lot better about being able to run on him if we were going up there with Pete.
Yeah, that's
true. Now, that's not to say Calamente's a bad player. He's played well when he's had to play, but there's a reason that Pete is starting over Calamente, right? And when it comes to the running game, Pete is a huge part of the running game for us. And so, you know, those two things have got me a little worried.
A little worried. And rightfully so. This is going to be a tough game. There's no way around it. It's not going to be a game that we're going to walk in and take control of. It's just that we have the experience at quarterback. I think that we actually match up better than even I thought of before. And as long as the defense can hold up and we don't get into a situation where they can wear us down, which that's not really their strong point on offense anyway.
Right.
It's going to be a tough game. Hey, listen, we have a couple of more hotline calls to get to, and we're going to do that in the last segment when we do our picks. Thank you guys so much for participating in the show, giving us a call, 701-901-1295, or email us at bsandbeer@icloud.com.
And what's your Twitter account?
Saints BS. What's yours, Tomas?
Mine is bsandbeer. Huda.
Heath?
Got nothing.
Imagine that.
What's the rest of it?
I got nothing.
Got nothing BS. Huh?
Anyway, hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. We are Fox Sports 97.7 FM Sports Talk Radio. We'll be right back with Heath. He's going to still join us, and we're going to let him stick around.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
I mean, just every song makes me want to dance. Yeah. Horn section.
Yes, sir. Here's my song right here.
All right, so the people got the good, the bad, the ugly.
And the rant.
They got the rant. They got John Hendricks of Canal Street Chronicles. By the way, John, thank you so much for participating.
Always a good man.
Always. Listen, we have the picks coming up, but before we get to that, we need to do a couple of hotline calls.
All right, let's get to it.
Let's get right to it, because I'm sure they're going to bring up some stuff. And give us more in-depth Saints talk have become accustomed to hearing. You want it? No. You demand it, and we bring it to you.
Give it to me, baby.
701-901-1295. That's the graffiti hotline. No waiting. Just call. Give us your thoughts. Let us know what you're thinking, just like this guy's going to do.
Hey, this is Wesley, TX13. Well, here we go, guys. Step one complete. Drew had his best game of the year when we needed it the most. He may have thrown some more yards against Washington, but he racked up most of these yards doing the last few minutes when we were completing our comeback. We're going to need some more of that, and I believe in him 100% right now. I mean, Drew's being Drew. We definitely took Carolina's best shot. They committed to not letting us run the ball, and Cam Newton had his best game that I've seen from him in a long time, but enough about them, moving on. Now let's deal with the Vikings and what Christian Ponder, Bubby Brister, whatever his name is. This past weekend, the playoff atmosphere was way too big for some guys like Goff and Bortles and Taylor. I really expect the same from him. I think that we need an early lead from our offense, being efficient, and our defense has to take advantage of his nerves that are definitely going to be there. If we take advantage of those, then the nerves aren't going to go away for him, and we'll just keep piling on. The first game of the season doesn't mean anything. We're a different team, and they are too, so I'm not even trying to compare those. And I really believe this may be our Super Bowl. There's a very real chance. This is the toughest game we have left to play. Jacksonville is not going to make it out of the AFC, so I definitely believe this is our the best defense that we're going to play moving forward. So how are you guys feeling about where we stand and how we look moving forward? I'm really enjoying this, and I'm taking it one week at a time until we see black and gold back in the Super Bowl. Can't wait to hear from you guys. Who dat?
Thanks for the call, Wesley. Look, I think, and Tomas and I were debating this a little earlier, I do believe Minnesota's the best defense we're going to face. Tomas isn't as impressed with them.
No, because, look, I can appreciate that Minnesota has a really fine defense. But here's what Dave and I were talking about. We have faced a team with a really great defense twice, and we've split it. One for them, one for us. And that's the Atlanta Falcons. Look, I'm not pulling for the Falcons because I can't pull for the Falcons. But I'm not going to be an idiot either. They've got a really top-notch defense. They're going to go play Philadelphia. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they beat Philadelphia, and guess what?
No, I expect them to.
That means that the Saints have to play Atlanta again in the Dome. Okay?
Hey, at least we don't have to beat them three times because apparently that's impossible.
Yeah, apparently so. Yeah. Apparently so.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. But I'm just saying to you, I appreciate your comments, Wesley, but I don't think that you're really being serious in your diagnostic abilities here, your analysis abilities here. Atlanta has strong linebacking, has strong defensive backfield, has a guy who got his grandmother tattooed on his back, who, you know, sets up some rush on the side. You know, so I'm just saying to you, I think defensively, Atlanta matches up with us really, really good.
I just want you to know, Wesley, I got you back because I disagree with Tomas. But he did make some good points. Atlanta strong. Carolina very strong. At the end of the day, I think that you start getting – as a matter of fact, you look at stats, Heath, the difference between number three and number seven, 12 yards a game. Yeah, you know, so, like, it's much. Just a matter of do you like chocolate pudding or you like banana pudding because all these different ones – oh, banana's bad. Yeah, they told me that earlier, okay? Yeah. If you're trying to lose weight, stay away from the bananas. Yeah. Anyway, Heath, anything
to add? Now, there's some truth to that, though. You know, one defense, it's about matchups. It can be about matchups, right? So you could have one team that statistically on paper for the whole season was a better-ranked defense, but there's another team that just matches up with you in a way that they, you know, it's tougher. Now, I can't really say which one. In my mind, Minnesota is the tougher defense. A lot of it has to do with what happened in the first game of the season and everything, right?
I mean, you know, same thing.
And we also have a familiarity with Atlanta that we don't have with Minnesota. I think that plays a little into it. Either way, you know, we gotta have our work cut out for us. Sean Payton needs to come up with a good game plan.
Go for it on fourth down late in the quarter. That kind of.
Not
all
that.
Right. I tell you what, we got another hotline call. Let's get to that. We don't want anybody to be left out. You call the show, we will do our best to get you on.
Hey, guys, it's B-Train from Saintsport. First, I just want to say that sweeping the Panthers is probably the most satisfying thing that's happened with the Saints in a while. That was awesome. Moving forward, I think that, like most of us, I'm a combination of nervous and excited for this upcoming game against the Vikings. I know their fans want this one really badly, but so do we. That being said, I think the Saints can keep this game close, and if they could put up maybe 24 points, then there's really no reason why they don't win this one. It seems like almost every year there's a one or a two seed to get surprised at home in the divisional round. And so I'm just praying. I'm asking Don Bobo that the Saints can be the one to pull it out this year. Who dat?
Thank you so much for the call, B-Train. We appreciate it, man. You call almost every week, and we enjoy the conversation. Listen, we are going to some fans. They hate us. They're going to be loud. They're going to be raucous. Is that the way you say it? Is it raucous or rompous?
Raucous.
Raucous. All right, yeah. But now, come on now. At least laugh out loud. I mean, if you're going to make fun of me, I mean, at least...
I just find you entertaining.
Well, I'm glad. And apparently, they extended our contract.
Woo-hoo!
Apparently, they find us entertaining, too.
Excellent.
So, anyway.
I'm here to amuse you.
I'm funny. Am I funny?
Yeah.
Is that... All right. I think it's time. We've cut into our pick segment, but we only have four games.
Yeah,
so let's get to it.
All right.
So, here's our pick segment. I decided to start with the two greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
I don't know what it is, but the music makes me want to dance than it does. So, all right. So, Tomas,
yes, sir.
See, I didn't even put my picks in last week. You know, it's just I'd feel bad if I was to come back on everybody and, you know.
Not me.
Give them that empty feeling.
Not me.
You know, I want them to have that full feeling of success.
No, yeah.
You, on the other hand,
yeah.
Right there. So, I know you have your finger on the pulse of what's going on. The pick, as a matter of fact, right here. I took it out. I had the Brinks truck
right
back
there.
Up.
I, of course, am not eligible. That's all right.
I had to bring Chuck back up.
If I win, I've been told that the proprietor of this establishment will at least give me a beer.
I'll get you a beer.
When I'm able to drink alcohol again.
Yeah, that diet don't allow it. I'm going to do that. I'm going to start with the
that's
with
why
the
I bring
no,
a big
no
giant.
Carb diet.
Yeah.
It's hard. Heath was saying.
Stuff,
yeah. Heath, he don't even put lettuce on his hamburger.
No.
He's like, that stuff will clog your arteries up, man.
Yeah.
You don't mess with it.
Yeah, stay away from
just
that.
Just give me extra mayo.
And some white bunny bread.
And white bunny. That's the best kind, though, man. Crazy. I can't imagine not having that.
Yeah.
All right, so we got to blaze through this really quick.
All right, I'm ready. So you ready?
Yes,
let's see. All right, here's the first game. First game is Atlanta at Philadelphia. Philly gets 2.5. Is this the first time ever that the number one team in the playoffs is an underdog by 2.5?
Yeah.
At home.
Go ahead, Heath.
Yeah, crazy, but I agree with him. I think Atlanta's going to go into Philadelphia and beat Bubby Brister and the Fighting Bubby Bristers.
Yeah, the Fighting Bristers. I agree. I got Atlanta. I picked Atlanta last week. I mean, matter of fact, I should have put my picks in because I called it. I wanted Saints to win. I knew they'd win, but they didn't cover. I'm just saying. Just saying. You can have the best of both worlds, all right? Be right and have the Saints win.
Yeah.
What's
all
next?
Right, next game up. Well, I also, as much as I can't pick Falcons, I have to.
All right.
All right, next game. Tennessee at the Patriots. Tennessee, 13 points.
Wow. That's a lot of points. I'm going to actually take Tennessee in the points in this game. I think Tennessee's scrappy enough to go in there and hang around within 13 points.
I'm going to agree.
No,
Tennessee in the 13.
It's
too many points.
New England's going to beat the brakes off of them, but maybe not cover. So I'm going to go ahead, and I'll make it all three of us.
All right, there you go. Next game up, the Jacksonville Jaguars against the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Steelers. And Jacksonville gets 7.5.
They beat them last time, Heath?
Yeah, they went into Pittsburgh and actually beat them handily during the regular season.
They put a whooping on them.
I don't think that's going to happen this time. I watched Blake Bortles play this past weekend.
Oh, my God.
And
he makes a fine running back.
Yeah, I don't think running like that is going to do it in Pittsburgh or whatever. So I'm going to actually take Pittsburgh at home and lay to 7.5 in this one.
Ditto here for me.
Same reason. I'm with you. Just Jacksonville looks so bad. I mean,
Mario
so
Lemieux
bad.
With the hat trick.
Right.
Mark it down.
All right. And the final game, of course, our New Orleans Saints.
It's a big game of the week
against the Minnesota Vikings, and the Saints are getting 4 points. It's up to 4 points now.
All right.
Yeah, well, I'm sure this will be a big surprise to everybody, but I'm going to take the Saints in the 4 points. I actually think the Saints are going to wind up winning heads up, but the 4 points is just a little icing on the cake. So.
I don't know if you really believe that, but I like how
I don't
you
know
made
if
me
I believe
feel,
it either. But
you made me feel good when you said that, Tomas.
I'm looking for a big game from our defense. I'm looking for us to be +3 on the turnovers. I'm looking for our Saints to score, just like I've said before, 31 points at least. And with 31 points, we win this game. I'm taking the Saints.
I like your pick. Yes. I'm going with the Saints as well. Listen, that's all the show we have for you this week. As usual, thank y'all so much for participating. For Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero, and you've been listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back, and that's the way it is.
Every week, everyone is a so dumb, miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast.